Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely terrific day today. Down here in Florida, we're actually starting to get some cool weather again, which is fantastic. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely great. This is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice. I shall be glad in it. It's really overcast today, but the wind has stopped blowing from yesterday. It is probably low 70s right now. It's really, really nice, but it's really overcast. And I remember when it used to be called the Sunshine State back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s before they started doing all this geoengineering, because, you know, it would literally be sunny here 300 days out of the year. Now it's pretty much cloudy down here 300 days out of the year. And even the sunny days have all the lot, most of the time have geoengineering streaks all over the skies, which turn into a haze. But that doesn't matter. This is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it, because it doesn't make one bit of difference to me how many chemtrails they spray, what the temperature is outside, what is happening with the wind or the directional wind changes, because I know where my Redeemer lives and abides in my heart, and I know who basically holds the future, and that's God Almighty. And so I'm so excited about my life, and I have been since 1979 when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Just want to start off with a testimonial. And guys, let me share something with you. A lot of you are going through some strife right now. I get a lot of emails, a lot of you having marital problems. A lot of you guys are lonely, or you're looking for companionship. A lot of you guys are having problems with your children. You know, let me share something with you. All of this shall pass. All of these problems that you have that you're dealing with on a daily basis, time heals all of this stuff. Now, a lot of times, marriage may not last. Just want to let you guys know that. You know, sometimes the husband or the wife just decides to call it quits and there's nothing the other party can do. A lot of times, it's scriptural grounds for it. Other times, there's not scriptural grounds for it. But you have to understand, though, that God's still in charge and prayer still changes things. But the reality is that you have to realize that if you start worrying about stuff on an ongoing basis and you don't allow your Holy Spirit to lead you, all it's going to do is cause strife and conflict. A lot of you are career disturbed. You don't like what you do. You want to do something else. A lot of you are having health issues. But guys, you got to remember, I know who my Redeemer is. And when they say, when they were doing the Apollo program, it's just a series of challenges is all it is. That's the same thing that's true with your life. It's just a series of challenges. Dale Carnegie wrote an excellent book. It's called How to Start Living and Stop Worrying. He said that 95%, sometimes 99% of what we worry about never happens anyhow, so we spend our whole time and our whole life in a frenzy being all worried. And my mom did this. I mean, after she had gone through World War II in Germany, she was basically suffering post-traumatic stress syndrome, and her whole life she's lived in fear. And I feel sorry for her, but there was nothing I could do to fix it because she didn't allow herself to come out of that mindset. And so it's important that we move on with our life. We talked about this a few weeks ago about how we have to put our past in the rearview mirror and go down the road with our life. And if we don't do that, the past is going to constantly haunt you and drag you back into a ditch, and you don't want to do that. That is the same thing is true with addictions. I mean, if you had a problem with alcohol or with opiates or with drugs or with pornography or whatever in the past, that doesn't mean that's your future. That just means that's your past. You know, just stay away from that stuff. Avoid it as much as possible. Join AA if you need to. Get counseling from your pastor if you need to. And just learn to avoid those situations in which you did things you weren't supposed to do. And guys, let me share something with you. You know, we have grace. And grace is sufficient for all of our sins if we are Christian. You know, we are closer to God. The Bible says we have to be born again through the Spirit. And through the Spirit is what we understand the things of God. If a person isn't born again through the Spirit, they're carnal, and they don't understand spiritual things. They only see things from a worldly perspective. And so if you have a problem with alcohol, you know, and you mess up every once in a while, you know, don't beat yourself and take yourself to the woodshed if you do that. Same thing with opiates. I mean, same thing with pornography. And what I'm telling you is this. Do your best to do the best you possibly can to avoid these things. Don't put yourself into situations where you're going to be exposed to these things and fall into a trap where you want to start using them again. Don't hang out with your friends who want to go to, you know, want to go to strip clubs or want to go drink alcohol or want to go do drugs or go smoke pot. Don't hang out with those people if you've got a problem with those issues. Pick up new friends. Go to church. Find new friends. And find the way that you can eliminate those things out of your life so you can reduce the temptation. But remember what Paul said, even if you do fall and you stumble occasionally, and because none of us are perfect, we all do things we should not do. Remember, grace is sufficient for you. And if you're hanging out with people and they don't want to let you have that, like let's say a person is an alcoholic and they've been to AA and they fall off the wagon and they were clean for a year or 2 years, 3 years or 5 years, and they get back on the wagon again and they're clean again. Yeah, okay, it's a problem. And people who deal with other people who have addiction, sometimes they lose a lot of patience for that. But guys, don't beat yourself up for it. Again, just turn around and go down the road. This is the same thing with diet. If you know you're trying, if you're gaining weight, and you know you really need to stay in the zone with your diet, and you're doing great, and every once in a while you lose it, and you eat something you shouldn't ought to eat, don't beat yourself up on it, because the next meal is the next meal. The next meal can be corrected, and you start eating the right kind of foods. And you don't have to deal with, oh my gosh, I did this last week. That's why I tell folks, I get on the scales every single morning when I get out of bed. If I'm up a pound, I cut back on my intake that day. If I'm up 2 pounds because I ate too much yesterday or the day before, whatever, I cut way back on my intake until my weight goes back to where I want it to be. I have a baseline that I'd like to maintain, and I have an over limit that I say I don't go ever over. And see, this is how it has to be. But if you occasionally mess up, you eat something you shouldn't do, or you do something you shouldn't want to do, grace is sufficient for you. Just don't make a habit of doing those things. And don't beat yourself up and take yourself to the woodshed 50,000 times a day, you know, putting yourself down. Because all you do when you do that, you start dwelling on what you did, how you got there, and in many cases it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because you start dwelling on it, it brings it back into your life again. So don't do that. I mean, you see this with people who have drug issues. You know, they start thinking about the drugs all the time. Oh, I shouldn't do this, shouldn't do this. When they start thinking about the drugs and they start focusing on the drugs, and also they're back on the drugs. And you're like, what the heck just happened? Guys, put it in your rearview mirror. Keep going down the road. Let your future pull you forward and not your past pull you backwards. Very, very important. By the way, here's an interesting article. It says the 2020s are set to be an economic and social upheaval. Europe is losing 1,000 small farms a day. Same thing happened to us in the 20s during the Great Depression. America's 2019 crop failure is a disaster. And in Asia, millions of pigs are being slaughtered because they're diseased. A crisis is emerging across three continents as extreme weather conditions brought to us by chemtrails and geoengineering and disease are beginning to bite the farming industry, leaving the World Bank's warning the 2020s are set to be a decade of dramatic economic and social upheaval as another billion mouths will need to be fed. Meanwhile, Europe is losing a small 1,000 farms a day due to a crop decline leading to price increases. Officials are using the word disaster to describe the widespread crop failures happening all over America and Europe. In Asia, pork prices this year have almost doubled after a quarter of the pig population has been slaughtered due to swine fever. Western Europe, Ireland, and the UK are suffering deluges of torrential rain. I'm going to add this, brought to you by chemtrails and geoengineering. The rain started at the end of September, and the deluge continues as part of England expects almost another month of rain in the coming 2 days. Sheffield has received 2 years of rainfall in over 1 week. Are you hearing that? 2 years of rainfall in 1 week. This is all geoengineering. In Ireland, Dublin has had its entire November average rainfall in the first week of the month. The army will roll into submerged towns and villages today as the 115 areas across the UK are on flood alert, while desperate families brace for more misery and worse still to come, another torrential downpour strikes tomorrow. Guys, you've got to be prepped. Make sure you have sandbags available. Make sure you have food available. And realize, guys, that this geoengineering is brought to you by the same people who live under the rock that bring you all the rest of this stuff. This is what they want to call the deep state. You could also call them the international Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian international banking community. This is who brings all of this to you, because they're the ones who fund all of this stuff. And just remember who your enemy is, and it's these guys. But guys, it's so important. Get some stored food like Austin talked about yesterday, and make sure you maintain some good rations of other goods that you may need in the event of an emergency. Austin, what do you think, bud?
Really well said, and that comes down to everything as far as first aid, you know, medic kits, being able to keep wounds clean, being able to bandage things properly. I mean, the last thing you want to have happen is be in a situation like that where you're pretty much completely self-sufficient and you end up getting a cut on your hand or your arm that ends up getting infected. You have this huge issue that escalates because of it. Having the ability to keep good hygiene and keep bandages clean and have adequate, you never want to have to start rationing bandages. That's where issues come into with infection, and that's what you have to understand, is you don't want to have to sit there and be like, well, we got to leave it on there for another day, or we have to swap it out with another dirty one, or we got to improvise and use this dirty cloth out of the garage to try to cover. No. bandages are cheap. They're unbelievably cheap. You can go online and buy big boxes of the huge, you know, big square Band-Aid. You can buy the gauze wrap. I mean, we're talking 5, 10, 15, 20 bucks for huge boxes of it. This stuff's dirt cheap. And, I mean, I know people that'll go out and go to the restaurant and go to the movies and go blow $150, $250 on one night and then turn around and complain about buying a cat tourniquet or complain about buying an extra medic kit or complain about buying a little bit of extra ammo or much less complain about buying one single food bucket. That's one of my pet peeves that drives me up the wall when I see people do that. And they have plenty of money. They just don't use their finances accordingly. And then they want to make the comment, well, if anything goes wrong, I'm just going to come over to your house. Oh, you're going to come over to my house. You're going to come over to my house and basically force me to accept your socialism and live off me because you want to live high and mighty right now and not prepare for anything. I don't think so, bud. That's not how I operate, and that's not how I will operate if the situation goes sideways. I'm a very generous person, very helpful person. I'll do anything to go out of my way to help people, especially friends and family. But if you're going to come at me with the attitude of, I don't need to get ready, I know you're ready and you got food, I'll just come over to your house and hang out, and you can feed me, clothe me, bandage me, and take care of me like a little baby because I don't want to be self-sufficient. Not okay, not cool. Anybody that makes those comments, you really need to evaluate your entire relationship with them. And I have done that multiple times because I've had people say to me that I don't even hang out or why I even associate with anymore. Because if they tell you that now in a very civilized society, imagine their actions and imagine their attitude if we do endure some type of significant calamity and they're completely caught on their butt with their pants down because they have no idea what to do because they didn't bother to spend a couple dollars and get prepped every single month. It's not expensive, especially if you do it early on. So make sure you have some backup stuff because that's right. All this stuff's going on with the food right now. As I told you guys yesterday, you can listen to yesterday's show in detail. It is going to be used as a weapon. Food has always been used as a weapon in every type of conflict throughout the world, pretty much through history if you look at it. Also, too, in other news, this is pretty wild here. Hong Kong, and I told you guys yesterday that one of the biggest protests over the weekend, now students are actually starting to transform the college campuses into armories as the protests are starting to ramp up more and more violently. The situation in Hong Kong went from bad to worse on Thursday. As the unprecedented weekend protest basically caused so much business community disruption that they are now basically trying to send in more military. And the students, the main ones from the Chinese universities over there, had basically said that they're being accused and unjustly harassed. One of the students who said their college was raided simply because the Hong Kong police wanted to make an example of them. They have now fortified two different universities. They have checkpoints to get into the universities to make sure law enforcement and undercover law enforcement are not allowed in. They basically have cordoned off the campus and have openly been making petrol bombs, basically Molotov cocktails. I'm not endorsing any of this. Anybody go do this right now. I'm reading the report on what's going on in Hong Kong right now. This is how fed up they are in Hong Kong of a centralized bank that's completely and totally taking control of them. That's just what I'm telling you right now. They also go on to say here that the City University of Hong Kong, Reuters said protesters have now been using ping pong tables, potted plants, furniture, sports equipment, gym equipment, and bamboo to build a network of fences, walls, barricades to block roads and fortify the entrances. Some have even taken garden hoses and hammered nails through them to create rope-like lines similar to razor wire. Meanwhile, hundreds of protesters wearing gas masks and helmets have accumulated piles of paving bricks, mortar, and ceramic tile to be used as weapons, while others have stockpiled dozens of petrol bombs to distribute to their forwarding operating positions over there. It's gotten nasty in Hong Kong. These guys absolutely have had enough of the centralized bank over there, and the students have completely and totally said enough. Genug, as they say in German. Enough. We're not going to deal with this anymore. Your facial recognition cameras are coming down, which, by the way, they have taken down dozens of those across the country now, and they are pretty much going to make their stand. That's very difficult to do without any type of weaponry, as most people know, because if the military really does want to make an example out of them and squash them, They'll do what they did in Tynema Square. They'll roll in with tanks and MRAPs and deploy 2,000 or 3,000 basically soldiers on the ground, and they will basically have weapons-free status. They'll be shooting on sight. I hope that doesn't happen, but as you know over there, that's not something that, you know, this area of the world is really opposed to doing if it escalates far enough, because what's going to happen is this attitude, this complete and total rebellion against the central banks is going to spread the more people see what's going on over there. And so we're just going to have to keep an eye on this and see what happens over there right now, Dad. But these students basically have had enough of what's going on.
Well, you know, the crazy part about it is, like you said, Austin, all they've got to do is just drop the hammer. And what they're trying to do, if you wonder why all of this stuff is happening everywhere, people are pushing back. I mean, people are waking up. I mean, the internet censorship over in these areas is unbelievable. And people are finally saying, you know what? We don't want to live as slaves. We don't want to do this anymore. These international bankers, these Satanists who do all of this stuff, these guys really thought they could implement their new world order and do it real slowly like they've done. Yep. And now they're learning that people are pushing back because of the new Gutenberg press, which is the internet. And people have had enough. They don't want to deal with it anymore. They don't want to live with it anymore, and they don't want to be under surveillance anymore. But the reason the bankers haven't cracked down, if they wanted to, the Rothschilds could order the international bankers over there, could order the government in China to come in there with the machine guns. They could do that, which could happen. But they're not quite ready for that yet, because remember, they want to have order out of chaos. They want to have it all happen at once. Right now, as Austin talked about yesterday, you know, we're on the verge of a constitutional breakdown of the United States. We're on the verge of a civil war here, like we had in 1861. I mean, we're right on the verge of this, because what's happening, we have two factions of people, one the communists, who are basically being misled by the Luciferians, and the Christians, who are saying, wait a minute, we don't want to be underneath this anymore. So we're having all of this stuff heat up. Now, you know, Michael Schneider wrote a really good article, and he says, if the impeachment fails, will the elite crash the economy in order to prevent 4 more years of Trump? Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to keep saying this, and I don't know how to say it any more succinctly than I'm saying right now. Congress, the Senate, will not pass impeachment proceedings against Trump. He can't be impeached unless these Democrats have enough dirt on these Republicans and they're willing to use it against the ones to get a two-thirds majority in the Senate. It's not going to happen, but they can crash the economy. Now you say, why would they do that? Well, they can basically, put the country into a giant, you know, budget shortfall. They could not pass a new budget. They could do all kinds of other stuff because they control the House. But the real power here is with the central banks contracting the M1 money supply or raising interest rates. We've seen that. When Donald Trump capitulated and did what he was supposed to do with the rebuilding of the third temple for these guys who want to bring in their Antichrist, they basically started lowering interest rates again. As long as he does what the central banks want him to do, they're going to put him back in office. I'm telling you this, guys, and I know that I'm like a voice crying out in the wilderness right now. This is a circus show act right now. That's all this is. They're going to put Donald Trump back in 2020 unless he decides he doesn't want to push the Israel Third Temple agenda. They're going to put him back in again because they've got him where they want him now. They've got the economy where they want it. With the Dow pushing 30,000, this thing is so overinflated, it's unbelievable. Almost all my friends that I know are all out of equities. They're all out of the market. So my question is, who's in the market? Well, the central banks, as we've told you many times on the show, are in the market. And the central bank is the one who's going to go in and start selling their own positions and shorting their own positions because it doesn't make a difference. They just buy everything with funny money anyhow. That's why I have friends of mine who built big corporations, and somebody will come in and buy them out for $60, $70, $80, $100 million, and you always look at who did this, and it always ends up being the international banking cartels who buy these organizations up for pennies on the dollar, or whatever they collapse them. Don't you guys remember what happened with Oakley a few years ago? I'm gonna give you a little tidbit with Oakley. Oakley was basically being distributed through a major distributor here in the United States who kept trying to buy Oakley, and Oakley didn't want to get sold. And the major distributor decided, okay, we're going to stop carrying your product. And so when they did that, Oakley sales collapsed, their stock prices collapsed. The company pretty much went into, you know, not bankruptcy, but close to it. And this group of distributors were able to buy it up for pennies on the dollar. And now they're distributed throughout there. And so you see, all of this stuff happens over and over and over again. And that's why these guys always get through the recession okay. They always get through the depression all right, okay, because they own the blue chip stocks or they own gold or they own silver or they own precious metals or whatever they own, platinum, whatever. And the crazy part about all – that's right. And the crazy part about all of this is that this is what they do all of the time. And now we, the people, who basically are believing that Donald Trump is who he says he is and he's not – and I really believe, and Austin and I talked about this yesterday, I really believe in the beginning he thought he could change things. He really wanted to do what he wanted to do and make America great again by his own standards, and now he's realizing he can. Now, Michael Schneider says it this way, he goes, by now it is exceedingly obvious that the global elite absolutely hate Donald Trump. No president in the U.S. has faced such a relentless assault by the corporate media, true. There have been many attempts to sabotage his presidency at every turn, true. And miraculously, it's what the Rothschilds will. They want us to think it's miraculously because they want everybody to believe that God's involved in all of this stuff as far as God basically is protecting Trump. Now, as long as Trump goes for that third temple, the international banking cartel is protecting him. Now, you say, well, Ted, don't you believe in prayer? Yes, I believe in prayer. And I believe that our prayers are what put Donald Trump in office. I believe that. That's why we don't have the witch of Benghazi right now. But the problem is Trump's too compromised. I talked about this yesterday. So Michael goes on to say, Trump has survived all of these attacks so far, but now the specter of impeachment looms large over his administration, and the Democrats have a solid majority in the U.S. House, there you go, where they are working quickly toward drafting articles of impeachment, which they will do, and they actually hope to have Trump impeached by Christmas Day. This is their goal, you know. Happy, Merry Christmas. In order to have Trump removed from office, 67 votes will be needed in the Senate, and right now the Democrats only have 47 seats. It's always going to be tough for Democrats to get 20 Republicans in the Senate to turn on Trump, but they have bungled this process so badly they may end up not getting any at all. That scenario will become even more likely if the U.S. Republicans stand solidly behind Trump, and at this point, even the Washington Post is admitting that there's a possibility that not a single House Republican will vote for the articles of impeachment. But, of course, at this point in time, it could completely collapse the economy. And why? And he talks about this. He starts talking about the central banks and what they could do. Now, guys, this is where it's all controlled by is the central banks. It goes back to the same guys living under the rock. They can do whatever they want to do. And I personally believe that they're going to collapse the economy. Because, I mean, remember this right now, what's going on right now. The stock market is at a flashpoint. Right now, insiders are selling off their stocks at the fastest pace in two decades, and valuations are ridiculously inflated. Companies that are losing giant mountains of money every single year are supposedly worth billions of dollars, and the market has been going up for so long that investors have completely forgotten about 2008, but at some point, this entire charade is going to come crashing down. There's even a bigger bubble in the bond market. Today, there is $188 trillion of debt in the U.S. global financial system. And those at the very top of the economic food chain control much of that debt. This is the international banking community yet. Could it be possible they would be willing to unleash a bit of chaos in order to achieve their political goals? You better believe it. You absolutely better believe it. And the central bankers control this economy through a recession, through inflation, and through depression, and have done so since we gave them the authority to do it in 1913. In fact, a lot of this stuff happened even before the Federal Reserve Bank happened, in that the banks that they control would contract the money supplies and not give out loans. This is what's happening all over again. Until we get rid of this international banking cartel, this den of vipers that run the United States and run this planet, it ain't getting any better. I'm just telling you guys that right now, and I talk about this all the time on the show, and it was really good to see Michael Schneider write such an excellent article I posted on the Health Masters website. Austin, what do you think, and what's your next story?
Yeah, well, no, well said. I mean, that's and again, also, too, as I've repeatedly told everybody, make sure you look at what's going on behind the scenes and do research and look at independent media and keep your eyes out, because when stuff like this happens, they always try to have other things go on behind the scenes, including if they can't get their way, if they can't push their agenda with this, they'll pull the plug on something else. That's why I've always, always, always recommend, if you can legally do so, always carry a firearm or a means to defend yourself on top of being physically fit and having the ability to defend yourself with your hands. There's no question about it that these central banks will stop at nothing, to push their agenda all the way through. We know this now. It's not, this isn't a speculation anymore. This isn't, you know, conspiracy theory. We've seen how far they will go. And the problem is, majority of Americans are soft now. They are not self-sufficient in the ability to defend themselves or their family if something occurs. the globalists and the central bankers, if they knew that under every blade of grass, like World War II, there was going to be an armed American, whether it be at a country music show in Las Vegas, whether it be at a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, whether it be anything, I can keep going on with analogies, they would be much more hesitant to pull a lot of these stunts. If they knew that teachers at local schools had the ability to be well-armed, well-trained, well-read on everything as far as security contracting measures, they would have a very difficult time implementing some of their aspects. But that is why they're pushing the disarmament protocol. That is why they're teaching our young children that you don't need to defend yourselves, that you don't need to own a firearm. In fact, you don't even have the right to own your firearm. We will give you permission to own a firearm if we see fit. That's the ideology they're trying to imprint on the younger generation right now. So that another 5-10 years from now, that generation will beg to be disarmed because they'll be so terrified from what's happened, they will literally believe that they are helpless at the whims of the government. And the only people that can help them as the military and police to protect them, which is a complete and total bold-faced lie. That's why even our sheriff here, Grady Judd, down here in Central Florida, he said, I recommend everybody, if you can legally do so, carry a firearm. He goes, people ask me, you know, oh, if I wish, you know, if I think that it was okay for that guy to be, you know, shot when he broke into the house a couple months ago. And guy basically did a home invasion, broke into the house, happened to have like a daughter and a son and a dad and a mom in the kitchen drinking coffee. They were all concealed carry permit holders. He broke in, a home invasion, and they lit him up like the 4th of July. They basically came in with a body bag. They didn't even try to resuscitate the home invader. And Sheriff Grady Judd said, don't break into people's houses and you won't get shot. It's a pretty easy thing there. It's not hard to figure out. Don't go kicking in people's front door while you're armed with the intent to rob them or do them great bodily harm, and you won't get shot in most cases. If everybody knew that behind every door, behind every vehicle, behind every blade of grass in the United States, the American population still had the resolve that was so strong, so aggressive, that we were going to put up with zero tolerance of that type of behavior, be a little bit different story right now. And that is what we're starting to see come about out of the ashes of this pathetic culture that we've grown now in the United States. We're finally starting to see people wake up. That's why concealed carry permits are at an all-time high. Firearm sales are at an all-time high. The ability to defend yourself is actually starting to come back. Self-sufficiency, which is a mandatory obligation, in my opinion, of being an American citizen. If you have the physical ability to do so, you should always possess the will and the knowledge to defend yourself and your family with multiple weapons, with your hands, with bow staff, with knife, with guns, with everything. That is a mandatory obligation, in my opinion. And so if everybody gets back to that, it's not even the stance of having to basically have to make a violent stand anymore. Because just the concept, just the idea of knowing that there's tens of millions of people in this country that are going to say no. And that's what they're doing in Hong Kong right now. I'll give the students credit. They've had enough. They've seen what the central banks have done. They've seen what the surveillance systems do. I mean, heck, in UK, they've gotten so pacified in the UK and so beat down. Because, I mean, remember, they still have the king and queen over there. They're basically little peasants. They went on to say there's an article here now that there's over 500,000 closed circuit television cameras now in London. 500,000 cameras in London alone. And they said on average, an average person living in London will be recorded on a camera 300 times in one day. 300 times in one day. 300 times in one day. I don't know if anybody picked up on that. That's a lot. That's basically, if you're out for 24 hours at a time, 24-hour day, you're going to be recorded almost 13 times an hour. 13 times an hour you're going to be recorded in London. The numbers go way up if you're only out for 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day. This is what they want to do. They want to bring us back under the bankers and the King of England, at least the same ideology, except it'll be a central globalized bank, central globalized king, and they will basically lead, and they want the peasants to follow. This is why they're trying to break down the fabric of society. Like, for instance, we have this, oh a blithering idiot. I can't even come up with words to describe what a moron this is. The guy is Chesa Boudin, San Francisco's new incoming district attorney. This guy's basically coming in. He's a new district attorney for San Francisco. If you guys haven't figured out yet, San Francisco is pretty much turned into a feces pool. There's photos that I saw the other day of L.A. and San Francisco. Piles of insulin needles, what they use for heroin, piles of them, piles of garbage, piles of feces, people blacked out on the sidewalk on heroin. I'm just all over the place. This is normal. Normal behavior now in San Francisco. And this district attorney came in now, and he said, my campaign coming into office now as district attorney is I will not prosecute quality of life crimes. People go, wait, what? He goes, I'm not going to do it. It's not a crime to have a problem with your quality of life. If you have public urination or public defecation, if you have public camping on a sidewalk, if you're blocking sidewalks and roadways, if you're laying out across the sidewalk blacked out, if you're urinating and defecating in the middle of the sidewalk, if you're soliciting or offering sex on the sidewalk to people, that should not and will not be prosecuted in San Francisco. Those are his words. Those are what he said. That's what he said. They will not be prosecuted. He just gave the green light to every doper in entire California that San Francisco not only is a basically a safe haven for dopers and people that want to do that, but pretty much he's encouraging it. He's telling them, you're not even going to be arrested and you're not even going to be convicted. And even if you happen to be arrested, we're not going to pursue any charges. We're going to drop charges on you. If you get caught, you know, trying to solicit sex and then you take a huge giant dump in the sidewalk, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's a quality of life issue. You know what? We're not going to hold you accountable for that. You just need to just enjoy yourself. Poop where you want. But, you know, we don't have straws. I understand that, guys. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We cannot have straws in this city. That is unacceptable behavior. As you guys know, the second time you get caught with bootleg straws, plastic straws in San Francisco, it is a $1,000 fine and up to 6 months in jail. So you best believe you can go take a dump on the street and urinate on the sidewalk, but you get caught with a straw, we're taking you to jail, boy. You better follow orders. You better make sure you do exactly what we tell you to do. That is the lunacy that these idiots are pushing on the left, and in my opinion, that is what they're trying to promote nationwide to break down the entire fabric of society, because a broken nation, a doped-up nation, a nation that has no morals, no values, no self-sufficiency, no Christian basis, nothing, is the easiest country in the world to overtake by a central bank, because nobody has the will to fight or push back or resist, because they're too busy doing dope or whatever other things they want to be involved in, and there's no basis, no morals, no ethics, no code of conduct to live by. And that's how I feel about this blithering idiot in San Francisco now, Deb.
You know, Austin, it's almost, if you'd say to people, it's okay to use drugs on the street, defecate on the street, you know, expose yourself on the street, what you're doing. I mean, you're going to sit there and squat in the middle of the street and use the bathroom or urinate. I mean, that's basically indecent exposure. I mean, you could be arrested for that in most places in the country, but that's okay. And you could just do whatever you wanted to do. And I'm not going to prosecute you. You're absolutely right. It's going to tell everybody in the world, actually, if they want to move to San Francisco and they want to basically come in and just destroy that city and do whatever they want to do there, it's going to be okay with the people there. And it absolutely blows my mind, and you're absolutely right, that this kind of stuff is considered okay. I mean, I don't even know what to say about it. I mean, it's almost like it's a joke. Like you're saying, well, that can't be true. I mean, how in the world can that possibly be true? Because it can't be true. Wow, that's crazy. Oh, by the way, the people down in Miami are having such a problem with cats. I'm going to change the subject here, make something a little bit lighter. That they're actually offering solutions now for people to get rid of these doggone cats. And you think to yourself, well, what about, you mean you're talking about feral cats? I'm talking about feral cats. But Miami-Dade Animal Service will pay you to help you control the outdoor cat population because it's gotten so bad. In Miami, it says it's got too many cats that are running around basically in your neighborhood, and now Miami Animal Control Services want you to help them get rid of these animals. Guys, here's the thing you've got to understand. You know, when you have animals like cats that want to run around and breed on a regular basis, you've got to spay and neuter these cats and animals. You can't let them go running around and just continue to do this and cause these problems. It says all cats must be treated humanely with dignity and respect. Now, I have no idea what that means. I guess that means you're supposed to go, here, kitty, 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 here's a can of tuna, come here, let me pet you while we put you in a cage. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. The Tip of the Trapper initiative is only available to Miami-Dade County residents. Trappers shall trap and transport cats to the ADS's Pet Protection and Adoption Center, yeah, right before they euthanize them. That's what I think they're going to do with them. Once or gas them, whatever they do. Euthanization, same thing. Once services have been performed, the cats are medically cleared for release. The trapper must return the cats to the location where the cats were trapped. Wait a minute. I got to stop here and read that again. Once the services have been performed and the cats are medically cleared for release, I guess that means they're going to make sure they get spayed and neutered, I guess. The trapper must then return the cats to the location where the cats are trapped. Okay, that just got really weird. ASD reserves the right to reject services in the best interest of a cat. Gosh. Services must be solely and exclusively defined by ASD, which shall determine, at its sole discretion, the trapper's eligibility for the Tip the Trapper Initiative incentives. The trapper shall not engage in malicious activities that may damage the reputation of the ASD in rescue or its other rescue partners, employees, or volunteers. This program is only available to Miami. You know, it almost sounds like a spoof, but I think it's real, guys. But it's just crazy that this is actually happening at the Miami-Dade Animal Services Division. And what is irritating to me, Austin, is they're saying that once the proper medical attention has been given to the cat's to be returned to where it was trapped. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I remember we used to have a friend. His name was Tony Durso, and he used to live in a place over there. I believe it was in Lakeland, and they had cat packs. And he said they would run through the neighborhood. There'd be 20 or 30 cats in a pack, kind of like lions in a pride. To be running to the, and they would run around and attack other cats, attack dogs. I mean, is that what we need now in this world? Because of political correctness, we have to have cat packs running around, attacking things and killing things and just basically eating things. I mean, I had to cover this story because it was so funny to me. I thought, I'm going to go ahead and read this because it's just such a joke. By the way, it looks like Roger Stone's trial is now going to the jury. It says prosecution says Roger Stone lied to Congress to protect Trump. Defense says there was no motive. And he has an impeachment inquiry that threatens Donald Trump's presidency. Steam's ahead at U.S. Capitol by jurors of the trial happening just across the street. We'll soon decide if Roger Stone, the president's ally, lied to Congress to help him protect him. Jurors will start deliberating Thursday after hearing testimonies over the past week. A guilty verdict has sent the longtime GOP operative to prison and will make him the sixth Trump ally to be convicted of a crime as a result of the special counsel investigation into the Russian interference. Now, I'm going to stop you for 1 second. You guys know I don't care for Donald or for Roger Stone because of his lifestyle choices. But, you know, I'm going to say this, and I mean this very seriously. This is a doggone witch hunt. Roger Stone should have never been dragged before Congress to start with. This entire Russia investigation, which is basically set up through the doggone Democrats and Barack Obama. If I was Donald Trump, I would get reelected in 2020, because he will be, all right? And I would pardon every one of these people, every one of them. I'd give an executive pardon to every single person, including Roger Stone, and clear the record of this mess. I mean, this is ridiculous. Now, I don't, like I said, I'm gonna quantify it again. I don't care for Roger Stone, but he doesn't deserve this. Now, what I have to say, one more thing. This is so important that you guys listen to me. You can't lie under oath. Just do the Hillary Clinton number. I don't remember. And what that does is, you know, everybody's got bad memories. They haven't been taking enough of our memory support. Okay, so they got bad memories. Or if you're not quite sure, but you don't lie. Or you say, I plead the fifth, or whatever you need to do. But you don't lie under oath. If he had just pleaded the fifth or whatever and not said what he said, none of this would have happened to him. In fact, quite frankly, Roger Stone's a very flamboyant guy. He likes to be in the middle of things. He likes to pontificate and say, I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that. And I'm all this, and, you know, and I got that. And he is a DC insider. That's the fact. And he was friends with Donald Trump. But that's kind of weird, isn't it? Because Donald Trump's friends with this guy who's a wife swapper. And he's friends with Jeffrey Epstein, who likes to screw little girls and get them for the elite. Yeah, it's kind of weird how that association continues to crop up with this whole thing. All right, let's do a health article. Falling asleep and staying asleep is growing more difficult for Americans each year. Now, let me talk to guys for 1 second. A lot of people have problems with the prostate over the age of 40, 50, 60, and they have to get up multiple times in the middle of the night and urinate. If you take prostate support, it does a really good job of helping to eliminate that problem. But another thing that really, really works well to let you sleep through the night is black seed oil. You think, well, that stuff tastes awful. And you'd be right. You'd be right in saying that. You'd be right in saying that black seed oil tastes awful. But guys, it really works for people who have prostate issues along with the prostate support. So we have a friend of ours who's been having issues with his prostate. He's almost 70 years old, and he was using the prostate support, doing great with it, but he was having to take quite a bit of it every day in order to make his prostate not have to make him get up in the middle of the night and urinate. Started taking a tablespoon of the black seed oil every single day, and poof, he sleeps through the night. And, I mean, this guy's like 70 years old. So take it along with the prostate support, and you'll be amazed at what it will do. Now, one more thing I want to say to you guys. Be really careful with Sudafed, okay? This is a nasal decongestant. It will really inflame the prostate. If you get a cold, because we got cold and flu season coming back up again, if you start taking Sudafed and you're over the age of 40, 50, 60, and you start taking a lot of Sudafed to be able to work, to go to work while you've got a cold, while you're blowing your nose, etc., you got to remember, it's going to inflame your prostate. And make sure if you're going to do the Sudafed, you take the prostate support and the black seed oil every single day with the Sudafed if you need the Sudafed. Don't try to use Sudafed without it. I mean, it can get you so swollen that they're going to have to catheter you in order for you to urinate. That's how bad Sudafed is as far as swelling the prostate. So be very, very careful with things like this. And make sure you take your zinc every day, 80 to 100 milligrams of zinc every single day if you want to have a healthy prostate. I've been doing that now for close to 40 years. My prostate works great. I'm 64 years old. And I don't have to get up in the middle of the night. I went to bed last night at 11 or so. I slept until 7:30. Never had to get up one time. And people say, well, how do you do that? Well, number one, I make sure my prostate stays healthy. And number two, I use a really good mattress and a mattress pad on top of that to make sure that I don't have a bunch of pressure points. But plus the other thing, too, is you don't need to drink a whole bunch of water right before you go to bed at night either. That's not any good either. But just remember, you've got to take care of your prostate because one of the biggest things is falling asleep and staying asleep. We have a protocol called Sleep Like a Baby Protocol. It uses a special product that we have that's called Total Rest. You can look it up online and get the ingredients on it, along with the magnesium brain food with the melatonin. And I use that about an hour before I go to bed every night. And guys, I'm telling you what, it knocks you out like you basically, like you're 8 years old again, you want to sleep through the night. And so it's very, 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 very important. By the way, there's a new group now, and they're called the Antinatalists. And you say, what the heck does that mean? Well, these are the group of people that says they wish they'd never been born. I mean, this is where this Sabbatean group has gotten everybody. Now, they would rather have been not born and rather be dead. The next thing that will happen is the eugenics stuff will be pushed really hard on these people that want to all commit suicide. But they want people to realize that they wish that they had never been born, and they're upset they were born. They view life not as a gift, not as a miracle, but as a harm and an imposition. And that their notion of having children may be a bad idea, and it seems to be gaining mainstream popularity. In February, a 27-year-old Indian man named Rafi Samuel announced plans for an unusual lawsuit. He was going to sue his parents for having him. He said, it was not my decision to be born, he told the BBC. Human existence is totally pointless. What the heck? Again, this is the inversion. That what God said to be fruitful and multiply, they come back and they say this stuff to try to destroy God's word. Samuel recently told this interviewer over Skype from Mumbai that his is a good life and that he's actually close to his parents, but his complaint is more fundamental. He believes it is wrong to bring new people into the world without their consent. He wanted to sue his parents for a symbolic amount of money, such as a single rupee, to instill fear among parents in general, because now parents don't think that having a child, but they don't think before having a child. I mean, what kind of twisted aisle, what kind of nutbag is this guy? I'm mad I got born. I mean, you know, any little child walking around today didn't ask to be born. That's a fact, all right? And parents need to really have good prenatal nutrition before they get pregnant, before that child is born. That's a fact, too. But, you know, once that child is born, do the best you possibly can. Now, if you wanted to say, I'm going to sue my parents because my mother was a crack whore and I got all these problems now because I was addicted to crack when I was born, I can't really say I'm going to argue with him on that one, all right? But, you know, we have children. I have kids. I have four children. because I wanted children and I loved my kids. Now, mind you, you know, I can tell you how to raise a kid up to about the age of 12. After 12, you're on your own. Once they hit 13 and 14 and 15 and turn into teenagers, you know, my response is just pray. And you know, but be willing to, and remember, guys, when you're raising kids, you got to do what you say you're going to do. You got to follow through with what you say you're going to do. If you say, by the way, I'm going to take your phone away from you if you do this again, you need to take the phone away. You got to take the phone away. Not take the phone away for 2 minutes and give it back to them. You've got to follow through with what you're saying you're going to do. And while we're on the message of phones here, none of my kids got phones until they were like 15, 16 years old, period. I wouldn't do it because there was no reason to it unless they're driving or you have to be able to stay in contact with them or for emergency situations, you know, they don't need a phone. And it's funny, Austin, you know, when we were kids, you know, we didn't have beepers, you know, we didn't have phones, we didn't have, you know, cell phones, we didn't have walkie-talkies, you know, in the car, most of us didn't have them. I guess you could have two-way radios, but we didn't have any of that stuff. I mean, and we got along just fine. And you think, well, why do people need all this stuff? Well, they didn't know. The baby boomer generation, and those of you that are listening to me right now that are my age or younger, or like down to 50 or so, you have to realize what we just went through. You know, we went through the greatest generation who won World War II having us. And we had tremendous nationalism and tremendous pride in the United States of America. Now, friends, listen to me for a second. I'm going to talk to you from my heart for a second. And we loved America. And then Timothy O'Leary and the bunch of the guys from the CIA got together, started slinging dope and you know, and LSD to do this MK Ultra mind experiment. And they started coming in with the Frankfurt School of shattering the fragment of society. But the society was so strong based on nationalism and Christianity, it was very difficult to shatter. It really, really was. I mean, we had real men. You know, we had, you know, people like John Wayne, and we had good singers like Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin. Now, I realize that all these guys had issues. They were married multiple times. Don't start on me about that. But they were macho guys. You didn't have to worry about seeing John Wayne show up in a dress and 8-inch stilettos. You didn't have to worry about that. You didn't have to think like that because that was a bunch of sick crap that nobody ever thought about. A bunch of perverts, okay? So we had the ability to be raised, you know, with the Bing Crosby Christmas sing-along and Dean Martin Christmas special and Perry Como and you know, and all of the other things that we had with this Christmas talking about Jesus on national TV all of the time. You know, we had TV shows like Fathers Know Best and Mr. Ed the Talking Horse and Hogan's Heroes, which I didn't particularly care for, but all these different TV shows that were pretty much innocent. Gomer Pyle, you know, I Dream of Jeannie. We had all of these different shows that were basically okay shows. They were funny. And we had that group of people out there that kept America stabilized. And then they killed our president, John F. Kennedy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And after JFK got killed, everything started changing. Everything started changing. Then we realized that America was not what we thought it was. We realized that the CIA and the people involved in the deep state had basically done a coup d'etat against the United States of America. And we started realizing after the Warren Report came out that we were being lied to by the very, very government that we thought was the greatest government in the world because we defeated Nazism. We did. We finally started to wake up. And then we went to Vietnam so we could sling more dope through the CIA and basically control the Southeast Asia drug markets. We continued to make more money from black operations. And people started waking up to the fact that we were slinging dope out of South Vietnam. And we started realizing, hey, wait a minute, why are we there? And John F. Kennedy, remember, that was one of the reasons he got assassinated, because he wanted to get us out of Vietnam. He wanted to have full disclosure on what happened with Roswell. He wanted to stop nuclear proliferation in the Middle East. And he wanted to get rid of the CIA. And he wanted to start printing clean money again. He tried to do it all. He was the last real president that we had. Then we had Lyndon Johnson, who was a nightmare. He was awful. And then we had Richard Nixon, who was just a crook. Okay, he was awful. He was like, these are the Bohemian Grove boys. And then all of a sudden we had Jimmy Carter, who was extremely intelligent as from an IQ standpoint, but had no common sense whatsoever. And he was a disaster. And then we had Ronald Reagan. Oh my gosh, Austin. We had Ronald Reagan for 8 years. And even though he was basically being managed after he had been shot after a few months in office and basically kept drugged down, he still kept a handle on it. And we, had he not been shot and not been drugged down, had we had Ronald Reagan, who was totally opposed to communism in all forms, we could have freed our country. But then, of course, we have the CIA, you know, boy wonder George Sr., who basically at that point in time was running the White House for 8 years and another 4 years as president. Oh yeah, that's exactly what was going on with him. And he talked about his 1,000 points of light, his new world order. And he says, we will have a new world order, and we will be successful, and we will, and when we have this, we'll be blah blah, rule of law. He starts talking about all of this junk. He starts talking about all the Masonic stuff and the angel and the world went and all the crazy stuff that they did, all the coding. And then we had Bill Clinton, career criminal. I mean, nobody has, 60 people that he has known and his wife have known have committed suicide. Nobody has 60 friends that have killed themselves. Why? It's ridiculous. Nobody has that happen. And so we have this nut in the White House, you know, with his Monica Lewinsky now stuff for 8 years. And then we turn around and we get George W., the IQ setting the lowest bar standard for IQ, I think, of any president ever. He goes into the White House. You know, and then all of a sudden we get that mess for 8 years with the Iraq War, and then we end up with the doggone Gay Kenyon and his transgender wife, which was a new low for anybody to have a Gay Kenyon and a transgender wife, according to Joan Rivers of the White House. And then we end up with the boy who likes to screw whores and porn stars, and basically has friends with Jeffrey Epstein, friends with Roy Cohn, another blatant homosexual up there in New York City who's dead now, and all of these things that Donald Trump's been involved with. And you think, what the heck happened to our country? That's right, guys. In the 60s, with John F. Kennedy, we lost the country. We had a coup. And that coup has been continuing through the CIA ever since. So until we do what John F. Kennedy wanted to do, get rid of the CIA, stop slinging dope, disclose what happened at Roswell, all of this stuff, and get rid of the central bank, it ain't going to get any better. Austin, what do you think? What's your next story, bud?
Well, and that's why we do what we do in bringing this information out here. And that's why one of the first steps that we can do is stop capitulating to this unbelievably idiotic political correctness. For example, Disney again. As you know, so many of the disgusting things and scandals and allegations, so to speak, that Disney's been involved in, some of their employees even involved in stuff, not necessarily meaning that Disney was involved, but you guys know where I'm going with that. They've now come out now and said that their new Disney streaming service and movies has added social justice trigger warnings to some of their classic movies. I kid you not, because they say some of the film's depictions and terms may be offensive to people, including the original Dumbo, Swiss Family Robinson, Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier, and the original Lady and the Tramp may have offensive, outdated cultural depictions that they put on. The generic trigger warning appears in the plot synopsis that users see on the Disney interface before clicking to play the movie. I said the original animated Dumbo features a supporting cast that includes a flock of black crows whose mannerisms and voices were considered basically by black individuals who played the voices on it, and Disney's now saying that that may be offensive. They went on to say that Davy Crockett was a offensive portrayal of Native Americans, okay, and the Swiss Family Robinson basically had racist, offensive messages of Southeast Asians when the Southeast Asians were attacking the Swiss Family Robinson who was living on the island, so that was an offensive one, and the Lady and the Tramp said that they had the two Siamese cats that were in Asian accented voices, and that may be offensive to people that are Asian. This is exactly what Dad just said. These films, when Disney actually used to produce things that weren't political propaganda trash like they produce today with all these unbelievably obscure, perverted political messages in them, these old films from the 50s and 60s, they actually produced some decent films like The Swiss Family Robinson. I loved that movie when I was younger. That was a really cool film. I mean, they give coconut grenades and everything else. I mean, it was a cool movie. But now, see, they have to change the narrative. They can't just remove these movies because, I mean, these are classic films. If they just said, we're not going to play these movies anymore, well, then that's even worse because now they're making themselves look like bumbling buffoons. So now they have to start slowly conditioning the population that, hey, you know, these are classic films. These are what the old world was. These are what the old depictions were. These are what we call outdated cultural depictions, is what they state in the thing. And that's why they are trying to come in and completely break down the norms and values and morals of the society through the younger generation to bring in all this stuff. So be careful, be aware what your kids are watching, especially these newer films. Be careful what they're looking at, and my goodness, keep them off the phones and the iPads as much as physically possible. Better yet, don't buy them for them when they're young. Just my stance on it, Dad. But that is one of the best things we can do right now, is to make sure we protect the younger children, our children, from being polluted by this propaganda that's so aggressive now.
Well, the other night, you know, we took care of your kids while you and Lana went out to dinner. And I sat in the kitchen, and I watched John Wayne movie. I watched Chisholm with Hunter, the three-year-old. I watched it. He loved it. He loved Chisholm. He loved the horses. He loved the shooting. He loved the guns. He loved the macho. I mean, John Wayne, I mean, I love John Wayne. You know, I've actually listened to him do interviews on the Republic and on the Constitution. He was a hardcore constitutionalist and believed in the Republic. And this is the kind of guy, this macho guy that we had with John Wayne, that we just need to be looking at and emulating and letting our young boys look at it so they don't think they need to wear a dress or heels. It's ridiculous. Same thing with Clint Eastwood. Oh, by the way, Sweden wants a utopian dream, has turned into a mass Muslim migration center, and has turned into a multicultural nightmare. Long considered the safest country in the world, Sweden is now plagued by nightly grenade explosions, widespread car torchings, second highest rape in the world, only behind South Africa. And we blame the sharp rise in crime on gangs, but they won't tell the public that these gangs are virtually all immigrant gangs comprised of Muslims from the Middle East and North Africa. They tell the people that their gangs are basically, you know, white people that were there and just decided to turn bad, I guess. And the people believe it over there. That's the craziest part. So, guys, this multiculturalism does not work, and people have had enough of all of it. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I got to pray for you again this morning. And I apologize. I have not yet prayed with Sharon this morning. I will pray with you for her. We've got a bunch of stuff happen this morning. I will pray for you guys as soon as we're done with the show. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thanks for supporting us. Thank you, guys, for getting your multiple vitamins, your toothpaste, and all your supplies from us. Without you guys, this show wouldn't be possible. Also, go ahead and finish up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless. Bye-bye.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And we have basically the ultimate prenatals back in stock, which is very exciting. I know a lot of people have been waiting on those. The ultimate prenatal vitamins are back in stock on the website. Got a whole new batch of them in, so they're ready to ship out. We've already fulfilled some orders that basically were on back order because of that. So the ultimate prenatals are back in stock. And also, to be sure to check out the product of the week, the probiotic 100 billion. That's on sale right now for over 5% off. Really, really strong formula. Be sure to check it out on the website at healthmasters.com. Thank you. We appreciate you for your support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.